Well, hello, folks. We're really excited to have you join us on this new episode of Aubrey Insights, where we're really excited to be talking with the Chief Financial Officer of Dallas ISD, Ed Ramos, and the Assistant Superintendent of Enterprise Applications, Sean Brinkman. I've been really excited to have these two gentlemen here, along with CEO of Aubrey, James Stauffer, and my fellow co-founder here, Chris Rose. And we are excited to have this conversation with Dallas ISD. We really lean into innovation, and we really lean into wonderful conversations with awesome partners. Both Ed and Sean are fantastic thinkers, big picture thinkers, and we're really excited to have this conversation. Ed and Sean, I would love, before we really dive into this partnership that Aubrey has with Dallas ISD, I was hoping you can maybe share a little bit about the journey, really, like what led you here, what brought you into education leadership yourself, what drives you in your roles today, what makes you tick, what gets you excited, a little bit of the personal here, where we'd like to know, like professionally, where are your roots and how did you end up here?
Okay. I'll start. So I grew up as a migrant farm worker. And so technically I was supposed to be a statistic, meaning I was supposed to drop out of high school. There was a teacher who believed in me. And because of that, I ended up graduating college. And so I've always believed that public education is the equalizer. And that's why I'm so passionate about public ed, because I am an example of what can happen when a student really puts their effort in education itself. And so that's why I am a true believer that regardless of your background, regardless of where you came from, of who you are, education, it gives every student an opportunity, every student. And that's why I went into education. And to this day, I love my job. I love what I do, because any given day, any decision I make is going to impact a student. And it's a student that could be any student from any background. And that's why I love what I do to this day.
Love that. Sean?
Yeah, so I actually started out as a second grade classroom teacher. It was the hardest job I ever had. I can still say that today. So, as I moved throughout my career, I got into technology, specifically educational technology. And what I notice is as these iterations of educational technologies come out, if they're strategically implemented, they really have the opportunity to impact student learning, hands down. From the internet to smart boards to all these different applications, if you can leverage the power of technology, you can change the learning experience for student and student outcomes. And on the flip side of that, you can also start to drive what Ed's talked about is operational efficiencies throughout the entire organization. That kind of drives me. I think I told Chris, I believe in this work. Like if we can get this right, we can really change the trajectory for kids in Dallas ISD.
It's always fun to look at the compounding effects that good technology can have with really good teaching, right? Or really good leader. It's an exponential number in my head that you see happening. And when you get that perfect marriage happening, you get fantastic results. So I'd love to just get a little bit of background or talk a little bit about Dallas ISD. You all are the 16th, I believe, largest and most complex district in the country. What are some of the big opportunities and challenges that you face when it comes to using data to really guide your decisions?
I think any decision that we make in a district of this size is going to be a critical, because it's going to impact so many students, so many families. And so when you're able to justify any decision that you make because you have data to back it up, then that's going to be huge. That's going to be very important. But even more important is that you have to make sure that the data that you're using is accurate. Yeah. And that's one of the things I love about Dallas is that Sean and his team, they make sure that the data that they produce for us is accurate data. And that's one of the things that I love, that I can always count on, is that the data that we're seeing that's being produced from these systems is accurate data, because Sean and his team make sure that it's accurate data. And so that's why whenever we make decisions and we're using some of this data, it's important.
Sean, can I ask like a kind of a bolt-on question to this right here? Because this theme has come up a couple times, but like accuracy of data, any tips or observations that you would bring with your professionalism on actually making that happen within a district? I mean, we work with lots of different customers where it's a pretty large spectrum of the accuracy of that data. What comes to mind for you that you've created an organization or culture where that data is very accurate?
So I think Dallas has used data for a long time, and we've been a data-driven district for a long time. So we're constantly talking about data. We've created a culture around data.
Yep.
Now we're still working on some of the tools, right? So we have a lot of data silos still, and you know, we're trying to bring that together to give everybody a holistic view of the campus student and operation. But I really think, you know, creating that culture of data, and then putting systems in place to make sure that people understand how to utilize that data, make sure it's accurate. And for us, we're continuing working on data governance, right? And that's something that we're putting an emphasis on in Dallas.
I didn't want to get sidetracked from the original question, though, Sean. Any for you, like challenges that you face when using data to guide your decision making, or you and your team?
The challenges is everywhere, and the speed that we need. I mean, the speed that we need to be able to produce, like what Ed's talking about, right? Ed needs data now from multiple different systems, and it's my team that's got it. It's going back and we'll collect it, create the reports, the dashboards, or whatever. You know, the real challenge is just that it's everywhere. And so for us, you know, if we could put it in one place, have that single pane of glass, then, you know, and drive adoption through one platform that way. Right. I'm going to give you an example. If I'm an executive director over whatever program, campuses, whatever, in our current environment, they're probably going to go to 6 or 7 different places to see stuff, right? So this is the opportunity to really streamline that and start driving folks to a source or a holistic view with data that is accurate and governed and you know, quite frankly, secure, because you know, that's something that we haven't talked about, but it is, I mean, putting it in a, you know, in a platform that's governed, it just increases our security posture, because, you know, if you think people aren't going to go grab the data from all these other systems and do whatever they want with it, you're wrong. They're going to. And so we want to take the opposite approach to make sure everything is in one location so they don't have to do that.
So, Sean, when we were meeting at first, obviously we hit it off pretty strongly as far as philosophical things, and I could definitely tell from the get-go you had a strong understanding of Dallas ISD, whether that was your technology stack, your data, et cetera. So, when you were looking at partners that you already had, whether that's a SIS, an ERP system, an LMS, what were the gaps that made you say, hey, we need to do something different, how we're doing data, how we're doing our tech stack?
We got a lot of great partners, and they do what they do really well. One of the things that we noticed was they all produce a whole lot of data, and that data sits in silos, and it is really hard for us to kind of put all that in one place and create a 360 view of everything in the district from the student all the way up to what's going on operational. So, you know, real-time insights across all of the departments, all of the campuses, all of the students is something that really piqued our interest with Aubrey, and the ability to kind of knock down those data silos and standardize what we're trying to do from a data perspective.
Right. And there are so many data vendors out there, I'm sure that you're aware of. What was one thing that might have tipped the scales in favor of Abre? You know, was it about modernization of technical stack and data? Was it about transparency, understanding your data better? Could you?
I think all of those, right? Okay. And so, yeah, we definitely want to make sure that we're continuing to modernize all of our systems. Transparency is huge, right? So transparency and usability of the data. It also, Abre really provided flexibility for us as a platform to do some things that we weren't currently doing. And, you know, to put all of that data in one place, make sure that everybody had access to what they need when they need it. And we were able to ensure the data integrity as well as another big thing for us. It was wanting to make sure that people trust the data. But yeah, transparency to the community, to all of our stakeholders, teachers, principals, leadership as well.
Yeah, and Sean, you were a former educator. I think that's one of the things I really loved when I met you. You understand and have empathy for that classroom teacher, for that, in the trenches educator.
I'm going to date myself here, but absolutely. I started in education as a second grade classroom teacher. And we had back then the data was all on papers and folders, and look how far we've come, and we still have a ways to go. But understanding how technology can really transform the student learning experience, create a complete picture of that student, and then help us from operational efficiencies. I'm a true believer, and I've always been. The more efficient we can get, every dollar we save, we could put back into the classroom. And that just enhances the student experience. And I think it's what we're all trying to achieve.
Such a great transition to you, Ed. When we talk about dollars, it's something that isn't often talked about publicly, right? But especially with given the conditions in the marketplace today and what's happening around competing priorities with state and federal governments, could you speak a little bit about when you were looking for a data partner, kind of how transparency and action really resonated with you, especially as it relates to just finance and operations and efficiency as it's tied to it?
Yeah, well, probably one of the words that Sean just mentioned was one of my favorite words, which is efficiency. And so when I was looking for a tool, one of the things that I was looking for is Dallas is very data rich. And so we collect all this data. And one of the beautiful things about Dallas is that we make sure that data is very accurate. But one of the things that I was having an issue with in my department is the data was in several systems. And so I was asking for several pieces of data, and it was taking my staff weeks for them to gather this data and put it into some of the reports that I needed. And I was using that to project and find efficiencies that I needed to find within the district because I was looking for specific numbers, specific expenditures, and diving into that data. And then one day I just sat down and said, there's got to be an easier way to do this because, again, we have all this data. I'm having my staff do this manually with all this technology that we have, with all these systems that we have. There's got to be an automated way to do this. And then that's when I started looking at different products, and that's when I found Abre, and I started looking into that and seeing how this tool could help Dallas ISD.
So that's awesome, man. What's a tangible example there, right? You said about expenditures, projections. Could you maybe give either an example of how we have kind of quickly been able to help you, or how you plan to really where the rubber meets the road with data, confident decision making, transparency around maybe a specific initiative that you have in mind?
Yeah, one of the first things that I wanted to look at was projecting basically our expenditures in the district. So our budget is $1.8 billion. Wow. And so when we're spending our money throughout the year, every month that goes by, our projections get more accurate. But for us, it was a manual process. And as we're spending our money throughout the year, projection is a manual process year over year. But what I wanted to do is use the system and build a way for us to project that manually So every year, not every year, but every month, as our expenditures go through the system and we capture those expenditures, now we have a way to automate that process and then have a dashboard that shows us exactly, not only district-wide, what's happening with those expenditures, but now I could capture that by chief, and every chief can actually see how they're spending, and now we can project, am I going to be over budget by the end of the year, or am I on par with my expenditures? And so I can use that tool now to not only project what's going on in the district, but now assist my chiefs at how they're spending their budgets.
So you're theoretically bringing that then to like cabinet meetings and having open, transparent conversation around spend, around projections, around if we are going to be over, why, and like having alignment conversations around that.
Yeah, and that's going to be important because, like you said, James, budget dollars are getting tighter and tighter. And so these are conversations that we're going to have to start having as a district and just watching these dollars more closely.
Is the idea there that then with automation, with efficiency gains, that then you can help repurpose members of your team to do other things? What's the ROI on the efficiency? There's ROI, obviously, on the transparency, the alignment, the things that we just talked about. What's the ROI from your perspective as a CFO running a really big budget, by the way, in terms of just like people and capacity costs?
Well, one is ROI on my staff's time. And also on focus, like right now they're focusing on reports, but now they can focus on specific areas that I want them to focus on. Let's focus on this project here, or let's focus on this other project here, where before they didn't have the time to put their focus on specific projects. Now they do, because now it's automated versus them having to do manual work to create reports for me.
Yeah, very.
And I like that. I think you'll see that through every department, right? Because right now, with all the data we have, we spend a lot of time pulling it together, creating the report. Now, once the data is available and it's in a single pane of glass, well, people can start talking about, they can do something about the data in much, much faster capacity than we are able to do before.
Well, I wanted to kind of actually do a quick segue with that with you, Sean. Just, I mean, again, coming from the academic side of the house and thinking teachers or principals, not necessarily about dollars going out, but thinking about all the academic initiatives. Like, you spoke briefly about it, but just maybe get a quick overview. Just the amount of work that your teachers and your principals spend gathering the data necessarily, Ed's point was made here is like the opportunity cost of like doing the work to go get the thing versus like I have the thing and now I can really use the high level thinking. So you make an impact.
No, absolutely. I mean, when I looked at Aubrey initially, and I think Chris and I had this conversation, we were trying to solve a specific problem around that. We conduct meetings to make sure we pull all this data together to make sure students are getting the supports and services that they need. Well, come to find out, we're spending this, everybody from counselors to principals to teachers, we're spending this excessive amount of time just trying to get the data. If we do one thing with Aubrey, solving that problem, and especially across all the different departments, is just, it's going to save us, I can't even put that into the amount of time. And then that time can be used to talk about what we're going to do about it. And taking action on the data, and that's kind of exciting for me.
Love that. So I wanted to ask a question about community. Both Ed and Sean are here. Like, you know, so much of leadership in a school district comes to building trust with your community, right? And getting them to really believe in your mission and vision and your objectives. I'm curious, like, how do you see Aubrey, or how do you see a tool like Aubrey helping to build that trust? So you're going not just within the district, but you're also thinking external facing with your larger community, your families, et cetera. I'm just curious your thoughts around that.
Well, I think it's important for our communities to see how we're using data and specifically how we're spending our money. It's important to have and to show our community that we spend our dollars wisely. It's their tax dollars. And so you continually hear, how are you spending my tax dollars? Where's this money going? And so when you have a platform that you can actually show them, whether it's on your website or just some of the tools that we're able to put out there that actually shows them how we're efficiently using our data to show them not only the impact that it's having on the students, but on their budget dollars as well, then to me, that helps them, that helps us gain their trust as a community.
Great. One of the hardest things about education is proving that ROI, return on investment, and, showing how dollars connect to a lot of times many different things, but primarily student growth as educators. So how does Aubrey actually help make those connections of, hey, if you're investing in this area, whether it's academic things or tools or whether it's facilities, et cetera, how does Aubrey help you make the connections around what is impacting student growth?
So one of the projects that we want to start working on is making that connection. So an example is we receive funding from the state, whether that's pre-K or career in tech. So we want to show not only are we using those dollars efficiently and wisely, but what impact is that having with our students, with our student growth? We have that data. We are seeing the huge gains that our pre-K students are having in the district. But are we doing a good job showing our community? Are we doing a good job showing our legislators? And so that's the next project that Sean and I have been discussing, and we're discussing as a district. How can we show our community how we're using that investment, how we're using those dollars, and the gains that investment is having with our students? Because it's working. It's working. When you look at the results that our pre-K students are having as they're growing up in the system, that they're having some great academic strides in this district.
Yeah, and the only other thing I'd add, first and foremost, the data is in one location. And that's step number one, getting it in one location so people can make those connections and it is transparent. And Aubrey is we're looking forward to Aubrey really helping us do that.
Yeah, and Sean,
I also wanted to add, Chris, it's also important for us as a district to show our community what we're doing for our students, because one of the things that you're going to find, and any district's going to find, is that now it's competition. It's not only in Dallas, we're not only Dallas ISD. There's charter schools, now there's private schools. Well, when we're able to show what we can do for any student, then as a parent, I'm like, well, I want to send my kids to Dallas ISD. Look what they're doing for their students. And so if we're able to show that through dashboards or just showing what we can do with our data and show that to the parents and the community, then I think that's a huge strength for us.
We can all that controlling the narrative, right? How can you better control the narrative? How can you use data and the correlation and the causation type data around the initiatives, the spend, the time, the people, the strategy, the KPI documentation, all of that stuff? How can you then turn that into a narrative that sells? You know, I think for the longest time, especially public education, hasn't necessarily had to do that. And now we're finding ourselves in that very real situation where it's like, how do we amplify all of this work? And if you're amplifying the work with substance, with data, with outcomes, that's how you can really move the needle, or that's how you can address retention problems. And maybe not just retention challenges with families, because they vote by their feet, right? With where they want to send their students. But what about retention challenges with staff? Could you maybe talk about that? Because we are, I know, bringing in some staff data. We've talked a lot about kind of student data and operation and finance data, but what's that kind of triangulation between student performance data, staff data, which is really the where the rubber meets the road with getting those outcomes, and then the operational finance data to justify what's working and what's not working? How are you thinking about that?
So I think one of the strengths that Dallas ISD has is our teacher retention. Our data really shows that we have one of the highest teacher retentions in the DFW area. We have a higher retention rate than the state average. And so one of the things that we should do, kind of like you said, marketing, is show how we are retaining our teachers at a higher rate than the districts around us and at a higher rate than the state. And so how do we market that to our staff and potential future teachers for Dallas ISD? Yeah.
Sean, you mentioned, and I love your analogy of the single pane of glass. I think that's always resonated with me. You know, I know we have some initial projects which are very much focused around serving student needs and outcomes and monitoring that growth and just even making the data accessible to the users that need it on a daily basis efficiently. But when you think about the long-term partnership with Abre, essentially being that one-stop shop or being that place where is a single pane of glass, what do you see the role of data, or how do you see the role of data evolving over the next 3 to 5 years at Dallas?
So I really think we'll move from like a descriptive analytics to more of predictive and prescriptive, prescribing learning outcomes for students. So we'll get to prediction and prescription and instead of just, you may even, you know, the dashboards are great, but I think with AI and machine learning, we'll take it to the next level. And that's kind of one of the things that makes me most excited about Abre is, number one, we have the opportunity to put all of our data in one location. And number two, we have a real opportunity to put some generative AI on top of that. And we move from even the single pane of glass clears to a conversation. I mean, we're all using those tools today. Yeah. I probably can't think of one person that doesn't use Gen AI on a daily basis. And so as a teacher, it's just going to start to evolve from, here's what I need in the moment. Let me go ask Abre about that. Or maybe even a student, right? So imagine a world where we're prescribing supports for students or and they're having the conversation. So I really think that's the future. We're excited about the partnership with Abre.
Yeah, you said something there that's I think extremely powerful, which is, you know, before you can do any of that conversation with your data, you have to have it organized, has to be clean, it has to be in one spot. Many districts that we work with, are not to that stage yet, just because of the simple organization. So it's been a pleasure, obviously, working with Dallas, because you have that data posture within the district that makes the conversation of proactive use of data possible with Abre. And I think that's something that I'm extremely excited about in the partnership, because we can make data more conversational, more useful, rather than just, hey, go look at this dashboard in a reactive way. Let's use it in our daily instruction.
In your opinion, Sean, because I'm sure you have a pulse on what other districts are thinking in this area, is there the risk that certain districts might try to go too fast before they got the back end architecture? Everything that Chris just and you alluded to in terms of like the backend infrastructure needing to be there, from a data cleanliness, as being all in one place, it being in a posture and a state that allows you to layer in generative BI, generative AI on top of it. Like, I think a lot of folks that we talk with are like, yeah, we want a RAG model. We want to go straight to this, like, you know, kind of over architected type of a situation, where if you have built your data with a house of cards, you could theoretically see that crumble, right? And ultimately, despite having text to query built on top of it for whatever purpose you want, you might see that the results don't generate what you want. And then it could also potentially backfire on your front end users if what the results generate aren't what they were hoping, or if it's not accurate, or if it's not aligned with anything. You know, I'm just curious how you think about that from a enterprise application perspective, first and foremost, in such a big district where, as Ed said before, you're super data rich. Data rich is half the battle. It's getting the data prepared for the purpose of the application. I'm curious how you think about that and where Abre fits in there.
Well, you know, I think every district's probably, if they're not having conversations around this, they need to start, right? Their data's only getting more. But for Dallas, we needed a partner, to stand all of this up and do exactly what you described. I think Ed talked about it, being we're probably not going to get any more money or people. So we really needed a partner that had some expertise in this. And that's one of the things that really excites us about Aubrey is that we now have I can see the light at the end of the tunnel on this thing, right? So we can see, oh, hey, look, there's a path to get all this data in here, and it's doable with the staff and the support that we have in partnership with whomever. But yeah, you're right. I think there's a whole lot, and things that come to my mind is if you build it internally, well, how are you going to manage, maintain, and support it? And to the last point, if people don't trust the data, the product's not worth anything, regardless of what you do.
I'm curious, did you debate building it internally with your team?
We've tried it.
You tried it?
Yeah.
What happened there?
I'm on the call with Aubrey.
Fair enough. Nail it. That was a softball. I wasn't expecting you to go straight to that.
No, sorry. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I think when Ed brought this some of our first initial conversations, like, this isn't something, I mean, that we're not doing because of lack of effort or lack of want to. It's difficult work. Like, you know, yes, it's hard. Yeah. If it was easy, everybody would have exactly what I talked about. All my data is in one place. It's clean. It's trusted. I'm using Gen AI. Great. The reality is that very few organizations that I know of are in that spot. And so, yeah, we've been trying, and we looked at a lot of partners, and that was one of the things we were excited about this opportunity when Ed brought it in. Was like, hey, I think we can really do this.
So we talked about a lot of things, you know, from security to centralization to transparency to efficiency and all that good stuff. Obviously, when you go to implement an enterprise level solution product, and I would consider Aubrey being one of those because of the implications around the amount of data, the amount of users, the endless possibility that comes with that in terms of how you can use and leverage that for more confident decision-making and all the things that we hit before. What's one lesson that you could share with our listeners around just change management in such a big district? You know, you have to think about that, I would assume, before you just say, yep, it's live. You know, what's the preamble to it? What's the transparency around the why? How do we ensure that people, when they do get it in their hands, don't look at this as just one more thing? I'm just curious. You all have implemented big systems before, not just at Dallas, but in other places. I'm just curious what you would kind of, you know, pass along in terms of best practices to our listeners.
Yeah, I would say make sure that you bring your team on board early. Start having those conversations early. When your team knows that change is coming, the earlier, the better. That way they jump on board with the process. And then two, I would say be flexible as well. Change is always scary for some people. And when they know that there's going to be some flexibility, especially with the timeline, that puts them more at ease. It's not, oh my gosh, you're going to cut me off on this date and that's it. And that causes panic immediately, especially in a district this size. But when you can tell them, no, we'll work with you and we'll work with the process, then that kind of puts them more at ease. And Sean will probably tell you a little bit about that. But bring them on board early and then a little bit of flexibility.
No, I totally agree. I mean, communication, stakeholder engagement, getting them involved in the process early. Somebody told me one time, what others help you build, they'll adopt. You know, the more involvement we can get from that perspective, I think the more successful these types of implementations are. And then, you know, one nice thing about Dallas is there's already a robust data culture, right? And so, you know, for us, you know, understanding that culture and then giving them tools to do that work better and faster is a positive.
I'm curious, kind of staying on the themes of you being executive cabinet members of a large district running finance operations, technology applications, et cetera. What I'm coming riff here. Like, what What do you see the role of the CFO, the CTO in districts, not just of size like Dallas ISD? I would just say in general, kind of when you're around that cabinet table, having the difficult conversations around budgeting, around staffing, around competition, as we hit earlier, around the various things around trying to do more with less, or certainly with, you know, with trying to improve student outcomes in a more challenging market. You know, we saw kind of the rise coming out of No Child Left Behind of kind of the CAO and their decision-making ability and them really buying a lot of different technology and trying to implement a lot of different programs to move the needle for student outcomes and for assessment scores. And that's a good thing, right? But at the end of the day, now, are you sensing that the pendulum is switching where there's a need for a more balanced approach as it relates to technology, technology stack, spend, return on investment, some of those themes that we hit before? I'm just curious to get your take.
I think, especially on the side of a CFO, we're going to have to really look at what, and we use the word a lot, return on investment. So with our budget dollars becoming leaner and leaner,
yeah,
as we look at different programs that we invest in as districts, are we getting our money's worth with the money that we're investing in? Are students making any gains from this program that we're investing in? And so when you have tools like Aubrey that can gather data and generate good reports for you, you can dive into that data and it can help you make decisions whether those are worthy investments for you to continue investing in as a district.
So upfront, Ed, is it safe to say that you're now, or people on your team, maybe for smaller purchases or whatever, you're probably more involved in trying to almost forecast out what we think the return on investment might be, so that then when we get into year one, year two, year three, it becomes rooted in data against projections and against what we intended to see as a result of that value and that purchase? As opposed to, I don't know if you've been in meetings like this where people come with feelings and anecdotes and kind of don't move my cheese or I got to die on that hill, whatever type of analogy you want, because it feels like it's working. Just curious if you and your team are finding yourselves feeling a bit more emboldened given the challenge around trying to do more with less, if that's kind of emboldened your team to say, hey, wait, like, great that you feel, but let's look at the data to justify.
It's interesting because now my budget team, when we have these conversations, we're looking at this program, make sure we set money aside for this new program that we're implementing as a district. And then I'll hear my budget team, that's going on our return on investment list. So this is how we're going to start tracking that. And so they're creating these budget codes where, yes, we're spending this money, but we're going to start tracking it to see if it's going to produce the outcomes that the program is saying it's going to produce. So now my team has that mindset already.
Sean, anything from your perspective, kind of the role or the voice, the responsibility of the technologists around the cabinet table for big
time? Yeah, no, I think you have to be in lockstep with the chief academic officer, school leadership, and the CFO, right? As kind of an advisor and navigator. So what we look at, right, make sure we have some guiding principles. I want to make sure it's simple, it's standard, it's secure, and it's sustainable. And so, you know, there's conversations around all the time. I want this, I want that. And so we're constantly looking at everything through that lens. And then just understanding, you know, the challenges that the CAO or school leadership, chief of schools is facing, and having that dialogue on how you can solve some of these problems. And yeah,
I love that framework. That's
completely... I do too. I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, it's simple by design, but it's obviously complex.
Well, if you run every decision through that philosophy, it's kind of like our guiding principles. Everything is, is it simple, right? You know, if we were to roll this out, can people use it? Is it standardized? Because, we'll never be able to support stuff that's not standard. Is it secure, right? And then finally, we got to be able to scale it and support and sustain it over the years. So yeah, it's worked for us.
Okay, and finally, so our show is called Open Insights. You guys have any one insight you'd like to leave us with or listeners with in terms of state of education, state of Dallas ISD, partnership with Aubrey? Just one insight. Give us your wisdom.
I'll let Sean go first.
Ed, smile and you day.
All right. So when we're, you know, the whole conversation's around data, one insight or advice I would give is, you know, don't wait to get started. I mean, and leverage good partners. The landscape of education is changing constantly. We're getting more and more data that we need to leverage. So don't wait. Get started now. Have these conversations. Look out there. There are partners that can help you do this. And I know from my lens, you know, again, we've tried this, and sometimes it can seem overwhelming to try to put something like this in place. But don't wait. It's not a luxury anymore. It's something that everybody needs to be thinking about and have a plan moving forward.
For me, we see it every day. Education is changing. Technology is changing. It's changing rapidly. And so what I would tell anyone that's listening is don't be afraid of change. That's going to be the common theme in education and everything that we do. So embrace it. Embrace change, because that's going to be something that you're going to have to get used to.
It's not a luxury anymore, and change is inevitable. Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Open Insights. Thank you for the partnership. Thanks for the transparency. Thanks for pushing us during your due diligence. So great that it started with Ed in finance, because where a lot of these conversations start is out of academics, like we were talking about before. And what a cool kind of evolution of our conversation to go from finance and operations to where that intersects with staff data to now getting all student data into Aubrey, and soon to launch that into the hands of thousands of people to really have, one, the transparency, the consolidation, the accuracy in a secure place, like you were talking about, Sean, to be able to act. Yeah. And really what we're passionate about is not dashboards. We're passionate about the action and the decisions that come as a result of those dashboards for the purpose of return on investment. And obviously why we're all here is to try to improve and move the needle for kids. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for your wisdom. Thanks for your insights, and really appreciate you guys. And we'll see you on the road this fall.